Well, thank you and good morning. Welcome to the PGG Rights and Result Briefing for the 6 months to 31st of December 2017. I'm Ian Glasson, Chief Executive, and I'm very pleased to provide an overview for you of our interim results for the 2018 financial year. With me on the call are Peter Scott, our CFO, and Julian Daly, our General Manager of Strategy, who's also our Company Secretary. I'd like to start by thanking the PGG Wrightson team for their continued hard work and dedication. On behalf of the board and executive team, I say thank you to all our employees. This is my first results announcement as CEO of PGG Wrightson, having joined the business in November last year. I've been delighted with what I've seen since starting. PGW has a truly committed and experienced team of employees, many with extensive service of even 30 and 40 years devoted to our customers. PGW's strength in the marketplace is also evident by the number of contacts I've had from companies keen to gain access to the New Zealand farmer through the strong linkage PGW's built over its more than 150-year history in the New Zealand farming sector. So let's now go to the results and our trading performance, which I'll summarise for about 20 minutes. And then there'll be some time for questions. Before I start by recapping the key points from our announcement to the market earlier today, please note that I'll refer predominantly to operating EBITDA, which allows us to best describe the business operations, although for the accounting-minded, clearly it's non-GAAP, but we will refer to our ultimate bottom line of NPAT, which is the formal GAAP measure. So the key results to note before I elaborate are operating EBITDA was $34.2 million. That's up $8.2 million from the strong result of $26 million we achieved in the corresponding period last year. Net profit after tax was $14.6 million, slightly down on the first half-year profit of $15 million due to the movement in New Zealand dollar. And we've announced a fully imputed interim dividend of 1.75 cents per share, which was announced by the board. At the half-year mark, we're on track to surpass last year's strong operating result. The lift in operating EBITDA at this time last year is hardening and puts us in a strong position as we move into the second half. This solid performance was achieved with most of our businesses trading well through the first half. And as again, is the strength of the diversity of our business, although in this case we have basically everyone performing well in the cycle. We advised in October last year that against a backdrop of higher commodity prices, lower agricultural production and a delayed start to spring, we expected our operating EBITDA to be at a similar level to 2017. And it's very pleasing to report the business has in fact achieved the first half performance at an operating EBITDA level that is stronger than last year. Furthermore, we expect this strength to continue, and we anticipate full-year operating EBITDA to exceed last year's result and be in the $65 million to $70 million range. Previously, we also expected that net profit after tax for 2018 would be approximately 30% lower than last year due to reduction in gains on property sales, given that our divestment program is now largely complete. With this stronger trading performance, but with reduced property sales, we now expect NPAT to be approximately 20% lower than last year. So this was a great result for the first half, the best in a decade. We have a highly engaged team who continue to deliver results through market cycles and weather variability that continue to impact the agri sector. So now I'll comment briefly on each of our three operating groups, starting with agency. The agency group delivered an excellent result with more than twofold increase in operating EBITDA over this time last year. The livestock business benefited from a strong international demand for protein and reduced tallies, which are combined to push up livestock prices across New Zealand. In addition, our supply chain products continue to perform well. There was an improved performance by our wool procurement and brokering business despite the reduced demand for global crossbred wool. The real estate business had a challenging first 6 months, but maintained market share remains well positioned when the market conditions improve. The retail and water group has performed superbly with a 25% increase in operating EBITDA over the same period last year. This is largely built on the strong operating performance of our retail business. The retail business performed extremely well during a period when they looked to deliver more than 85% of their full-year operating EBITDA. It's satisfying to see that they finished at operating EBITDA higher than the same period last year, despite some challenges with weather. Wet growing conditions in spring were followed by dry conditions in November and December. The impact on horticulture was the advance of harvest dates. This resulted in spray program applications being brought forward, and as a consequence, some of the sales that were planned for January occurred in December. All three retail businesses, rural supplies, fruit fed supplies, and agri-trade, contributed to this very pleasing result. The water business, though, continues to be challenged by lack of on-farm development. Despite this, the business is seeing a number of opportunities to come to fruition, such as successful tendering to supply irrigation to the Royal Auckland and Grange Golf Club and the Millbrook developments. The Seed and Grain Group performed well, increasing operating EBITDA by $2.2 million over the same period last year. The New Zealand Seed and Grain business had a strong result due to favourable weather conditions in spring compared to the same period last year. And recovery in the grain and forage seeds market, along with a lift in performance in international shipments due to high yields, resulted in increased operating EBITDA in New Zealand. However, a reduction in spring sales increased closing inventory levels in both the Australian and South American businesses. Initiatives are in place to alleviate working capital demands across the seed and grain group, and we expect that to improve as the Australian business performance is traditionally focused in the second 6 months of the financial year. The Seed and Grain Group's continued investment in research and development was highlighted in spring with the launch of our environmentally functional program, N-Sentinel 4, which includes our new plantain product, Ecotane. We also had impressive demand for the first full commercial year of our Brassica product. In summary, across the company, most of our businesses are performing well. This impressive company performance will translate into a higher full-year operating EBITDA and NPAT than signalled in October last year. And I'll comment on that outlook later in the brief. So I can now turn to dividends. On the back of this half-year result, PGW's board has declared a fully imputed dividend of 1.75 cents per share. It will be paid to shareholders registered at the record date of the 16th of March 2018, and the dividend itself we paid on the 5th of April 2018. Net cash flow or net cash outflows from operating activities was $49.8 million, which was up from $16.2 million on the same period last year. Receivables increased largely as a result of the continued success of our Go range of livestock products, and the weather-driven seasonal delay in planting, which pushed our seasonal peak in working capital closer to December than usual. However, due to our continued focus on cash management, we have seen good collections in January and February and look to further recovery by year-end. We continue to invest into the business to improve facilities and operating systems, and we continue to foresee growth in our Go products. Currently, we expect year-end debt levels in June to be approximately $30 million higher than June 2017 due to increased working capital across seed and grain, retail and water, and Go livestock receivables. Much of the growth in debt over the last 2 years can be attributable to our targeted working capital investment in Go product receivables that are proving to be both popular with our clients and profitable for the company. If you exclude the effect of Go products from our net interest-bearing debt, you'll see that our debt as at December 2017 is within a few million dollars of our debt levels as at December 2015. In October, it was announced that the board had made a joint appointment of Credit Suisse and First New Zealand Capital as financial advisors to assist with a strategic review of PGW's business, its growth opportunities, the capital and balance sheet requirements, and potentially shareholding structure. This review remains ongoing, and it's hoped that the company would be in a position to comment further on the outcomes from this work later in the year. In terms of health and safety, we've made some good progress in improving the performance of this with our employees, However, there are plenty of challenges still to overcome as New Zealand agriculture sector in which we operate is one area where the injury rate is high and many risks and hazards exist. In recognition of our ongoing commitment to improve the health, safety and well-being of our people, we continue to invest in initiatives across our five strategic drivers, which are people and leadership, critical risk and controls, learning and communication, systems and structure, and governance and assurance. Programs that work within these key pillars are designed to achieve net positive results from our health and safety efforts, creating organisational benefits alongside our desired sense of citizenship, whereby health, safety and well-being is seen as an integral part of everything we do at PGW. To support our efforts, revised governance models implemented, we renewed our focus on critical risks and our team of health and safety professionals grew substantially to support and guide our leaders and frontline employees. To ensure we develop a learning culture which understands and recognises the risks in our operations and works tirelessly to prevent harm, we also commenced the ZIP, which is Zero Incident Process, Cognitive Behavioural Safety Leadership and Engagement Program, for which 600 leaders and frontline team members will have completed the course by the end of the financial year. So finally, some comments on the outlook for the remainder of the financial year and beyond. As PGW enters the second half of the financial year, we do so with confidence. We remain optimistic that the positive trading environment will continue through the second half of the year in New Zealand. But as always, across all markets, we wait to see what autumn conditions will bring and how these will impact our business as we move into the key planting and harvesting periods. In particular, our Australian and South American businesses are dependent on favourable autumn weather conditions. Dairy price expectations for the season have softened, but are still ahead of this time last year. Milk production companies are expecting production to fall for the remainder of the season. We have seen some increase in confidence in the dairy market, but activity is still constrained as dairy farmers remain cautious in their decision making. We expect continued strong lamb and beef commodity demand and pricing, and this is buoyed in part by good feed supply across the country, except for the Southland and parts of Otago, where drought was officially declared in late January, although recent rains have hopefully somewhat alleviated that position. Our staff continue to work alongside local rural support and industry groups to assist customers in all drought-affected areas who remain impacted despite the recent rain. Wool prices have stabilised at low levels and growers are starting to meet the market with inventory beginning to move through auctions again. The demand for fine wool is heartening and we are making gains in that market with international supply chain contracts increasing. The second six trading months for the retail and water business are always lower revenue months, which reflect the role the business has in farm activity at that time of the year. The excellent result delivered by fruit-fed horticulture business in the first half of the financial year is said to continue with large-scale grape, kiwi fruit, apple and avocado producers experiencing favourable returns and forging ahead with extensive development. The added benefit of this customer investment to our business is the increase in sales in fencing, machinery, horticulture merchandise, water and irrigation categories. The outlook for Seed and Grain Group remains positive for the second half of the financial year, but this is subject to favourable autumn planting and climatic conditions in both key markets. We expect these businesses to deliver good second half results. The South American business continues to recover from the impact of the devastating floods of 2016. Of course, as a business, we can't continue to perform well without a highly engaged team. And as mentioned, when I joined PGW last year, I was really impressed with the commitment and passion for agriculture that our staff display. I visited customers and our staff in the field, and I see many examples of the enduring relationships our people have with their customers. We share our expertise and are invested in our customers' performance. With this in mind, along with the confidence in continued positive market conditions, I believe we are on track to deliver a full-year operating result to surpass last year at an operating EBITDA level. Much of the earnings of our South American, Australian livestock businesses won't be certain until later in the financial year, but currently we do expect 2018 operating EBITDA to be in a $65 to $70 million range and NPAT to be approximately 20% lower than last year in the absence of property sales. Finally, on behalf of our management team, I'd like to extend our thanks to our customers, suppliers, shareholders, and most of all our staff for their ongoing support of the company. So that ends the formal presentation. I'm very happy to hand back to the moderator now, who will arrange to take any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Your first question comes from the line of Kyo Yu from FNZC. Please ask.
Thank you. Morning, Ian, Peter and Julian. Quick question on two fronts. One, if you could give us a sense of the brought forward impact on sales on the in relation to the AgChem business. Give us a sense of how we should think about the quantification of that in the first half as opposed to it falling in the second half normally. And in respect of inventory level, whether you think it would be an 18-month process to reduce the higher inventory level that you now carry going forward.
Okay, let me start perhaps with the inventory level first, and we'll come back to the impact of the brought forward sales.
Thank you.
On the inventory level itself, we are aiming to bring inventories back. A lot of it is it's both inventory and receivables, where our working capital has increased. And I think we indicated we'll be bringing it back. We'll still be slightly higher than last year. Largely, it's built up some increased capital for our Go products, which is an ongoing level of supply of livestock, and we actually own that livestock, and we are basically handing it out to farmers to grow. So that is an increase in business, and we'll be keeping that in our books. So there'll be a net increase in that, but we hope to pull back receivables and inventory elsewhere to a level which is more in line with 2017, but will be slightly higher given our higher level of sales activity.
Great, thank you.
Hi, it's Peter here. In terms of your other question about sales between, say, December and January, I wouldn't have thought that the impact wouldn't be too big in terms of moving EBITDA or sales back into December, and I think we've actually had a reasonably strong start to January as well. So I think the impact wouldn't be that significant actually.
But bear in mind, I think if you're just going to multiply by two, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Given the earnings for our retail business, pretty much 85% comes in the first half,
yeah.
And we tend to sort of hold earnings flat in the second half. We did have a slightly better January, February, but that's sort of already built into our forecast.
Right. And just a follow-up question then in respect of the seed and grain business in Australia. Given the relatively warm summer there, is the team's expectation to at least match the sales level and earnings level achieved last year at this point?
We're aiming for that, but it's a really difficult market to predict. It has been dry, and we do need some rain in Australia. So depending really what happens from now on, really from today on, and that's the risk. And that's why we always qualify our second half, because we're so dependent upon these strong seasons in both Australia and South America. And in both places, it's been reasonably dry as we sort of enter into this autumn season. So we'd like to see hopefully some bit more confidence from farmers, from some better weather and some increased planting, which should increase the takeoff. But otherwise, yeah, we're expecting to be something around the level of last year.
Right. That's helpful. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of James Biscand from Foresight Bar. Please ask.
Morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions from me, and firstly, just continuing on the same line of the weighting of revenue and I guess earnings from first half to second half. You're obviously about $8 million from an operating EBITDA perspective ahead of where you were last year, but the top end of the guidance range that you're providing is only $5 million in a best-case scenario ahead of what you achieved for the full year. So are you implying either one, some caution to your budgeting or your outlook statements, or are you implying that the second half is expected to be weaker than it was last year because of different climate conditions or because of other challenges?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all of the above. I think there's a little bit of sales that have come into the December, the strong December half, and then it really is around the outlook for South America, Australia, and some of our other businesses. And there's a mixed performance across the business, so we're struggling a little bit in real estate and water at the moment. But overall, we should be able to carry most of this earnings gain across into the second half. The sort of uncertainty still comes, say, about the parts of the business that are highly geared to that time of the year, and it's just too hard to predict at this stage the South American and Australian businesses. We get really strong performance in those, we may be able to do better, but it's hard to tell, and as I say, we're going into those seasons with pretty dry conditions.
Yeah, fair enough. Thanks, Ian. Secondly, from a livestock go product perspective, the team's historically highlighted that a $30 million receivables target was sort of, the top of the range for how far you'd go on that product. Has there been any review as to building further into that product? I see at this half we're about $28 million, so not far off that $30 million target. But does it grow from here, or is that sort of the level you're comfortable with at this stage?
We believe we can take. There's really strong demand for the product. We've been holding it back, and we think we can push that up a little bit further in the second half. It's about managing that in terms of our total level of inventory, working capital, and debt. So we're watching that closely. Assuming we have the headroom, we'd like to take that product further, but we're sort of keeping the brakes on a bit at the moment just to make sure our overall debt levels are sensible.
And as far as funding that product, I understand you're doing that all yourselves. Has there been any thought process around bringing a partner in to support further growth?
Yeah, very much. We'd like to sensibly see if we can do that externally or get that off balance sheet at some point. It's a question of how we do that. So we're looking at that. I don't think that's imminent, though. It's probably a little bit subcritical mass to find someone who's really keen to do it, but we continue to look at options around that.
And as far as risks in that business, my understanding is the key risk would be a large turnaround in, commodity pricing of either lamb or beef, as far as presenting, the risk to the farmers and then risk to your balance sheet. Is that fair?
You say yes, but, sheep's relatively short term. I think we sort of have sheep in and out of the product pretty quickly. It's probably a larger risk in battle. In cattle, we have a longer time, but we've got very clear ownership around that. So given that we're looking at the growth over that time, our risk is really not that high, and that we look at the cost of the product going in versus coming out, and even if you have a substantial drop in the market, we shouldn't be any worse off than our going in position. So the risks are pretty well balanced on that product for us, and it's very attractive for the farmer because we're able to do that without recourse to banks and all the difficulties associated with that. So it's really strong uptake from farmers. It's effectively for them a very clean, easy way to secure the extra stock and to capture the growth upside, and for us very little downside because our exit price is only got to be the same as the entry price after 6 or 7 months of growth, so we're pretty well protected on the risk side.
Yeah, understood, thank you. Finally, probably a question, Ian, for you again. From a strategic review perspective, can you highlight or elucidate some more on what the key points that the agri guys and yourselves are looking for as part of the review?
Well, I think, importantly, this is a PGW review, and I think the first thing that's fairly evident to me coming in is if you go back and look at our historic cash generation, this business has not been great, and we've been selling assets effectively to pay dividends. When you go back and look at last year's result, it's evident to all to look at that. So the question is, how do you go forward and grow this business with a capital structure that says I've got a 50.2% shareholder and I probably can't go to the market without losing control premium? How do I raise capital, do the exciting things? And that's really the fundamental review that's taking place, and we're working through those options. As you know, these things take a long time, and if you want to establish genuine tangible options, they take a fair bit of time exploring, and there's some commercial sensitivity around those. So we're just working through all that now, but the main aim is to try and free up a capital structure or shareholding that will allow us to do some exciting things in the future.
Superb. Thanks for that, Ian. That's all from me, guys.
Again, for those who wish to ask question, please press star one and wait for your name to be announced. It's star one if you wish to ask questions.
So any further questions? It sounds like we may have exhausted the pool.
We don't have any other questions as of the moment. Please continue.
All right. Well, at this point, I just say thank you very much. I appreciate your interest. I think it's been a great result for the business. It's a very strong business, and we look forward to a great future for PGW in New Zealand. So thanks for your interest today. I assume there's no further questions arisen in that last few minutes. Okay, I think we can end the call. Thank you very much indeed. We'll let you all get back to your daily activities. Thanks again.